Have your Bibles and like to turn with me. I'd like to read to you this afternoon from the writings of the book of Matthew. I'd like to begin writing chapter 1, the gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. We'll read down through verse 25. He says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus. Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." The message is the message of Jesus Christ and his coming here into this world. And I think about this dear brother, Joseph, being a just man. We know that there are no just men in and of themselves. That if there is anyone who is righteous, anyone who is good, anyone who is upright, anyone who is just, it's only by and through the grace of Almighty God they are what they are. And we see this young couple, this Joseph and Mary, and the Bible doesn't really tell us their age, but most probably very, very young, especially Mary, probably just a young, and was just a young, and she wasn't just a young woman. You know, some folks talk about Mary as if she was just like any other person, and indeed she was just like other people in that Mary was as much in need of a Savior as Joseph, as were the apostles, as were you and I. And yet she was a blessed woman, one that God had chosen to and saw fit to have in her and deliver into the world through her the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was all the work and the choice of the Lord. And she was a dear little humble sister. But Joseph was here at this place very much trouble, no doubt. It says, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. And I do appreciate so much the prayer that's been offered. I ask each of you just to pray for me right now that the Lord would be with me and bless us as we look at this together. The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is such a wonderful, wonderful subject to talk about. The scriptures is where we go. There are so many ideas and thoughts today being presented in the world that are not accurate, that are incorrect, that are based on many other foundations. But the place we're to go to find out about the birth of our Lord is the Word of God. And here we have the birth of Jesus Christ. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." Now, they were betrothed, they were espoused, they were pledged one to another, and then under Jewish law and custom, they were as good as married. That was his wife, and the scripture speaks of Joseph, her husband, and Mary, his wife, and yet they had not come together. She had not moved in at the home of Joseph, and the two not yet who had come together, before they came together, Joseph finds that Mary is with child. And you could imagine all the thoughts that went through the mind of Joseph. You know, sometimes we read about these characters and forget they were real people that really walked on the face of the earth, that had the same emotions, the same feelings, the same thoughts that you and I would have had, though they were here a long time ago. Joseph here saw Mary and saw her with child and thought either something had happened to her where someone had forced themselves upon her, or she had been unchaste or unfaithful or whatever the case was. And he could have made a public example of her, brought her before those that would question her and publicly humiliate her. But being a just man, being someone, he didn't even know all that was taking place. But he knew he didn't want to do that to Mary. And so being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, he was minded to put away, but he was going to do that privately, privily, which means in private. He wasn't going to make a big show about it. Shows something working in Joseph, something that only comes from the Lord, that he had a concern that wasn't just about him. And I hope we all know and understand that left to ourselves, the only one left to myself, the only one I'm really worried about is me. And left to yourself, the only one you're really worried about is you. And if there's anything good in us or anything different than that in us, other than anything spiritual in us, any good thoughts in us, it isn't because we changed our mind and came to them. It's because the God of heaven has worked something in us that we could not do for ourselves. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man, that tells me he was not just any old man. He was a just man, and I believe a little child of grace. And while he thought on these things, there he was trying to sleep. Can you imagine what a night that was? He's laying there trying to sleep, and here the woman that he's betrothed to, his wife, is now with a child, and he doesn't understand. And I don't know about the communication. I know the angel had appeared, Gabriel had appeared unto Mary, and it told Mary what was going to take place. She wasn't unaware of what had taken place, and she knew that it was a great blessing because they knew the Messiah was coming. They were expecting the coming of the Messiah. And they were expecting the Messiah to come as a seed of David, as the seed of David, and as a child of David. And that wonderful thought was there, and there were those, and Mary had seen that, and the angel and that little humble sister had shown her and told her, and she was humbled by all that. And we read about that over in Luke about all that was going to place. Now, whether Mary tried to explain this to Joseph or whether she didn't, it seems very apparent here from the scripture that either Joseph didn't believe it or didn't know it, because all he knew is, I'm troubled. And it says, her husband, while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. Now you said, was he asleep? Well, if it was a dream, obviously he had to be asleep if it was a dream. But this wasn't like a dream you get when you eat too many tacos or when you eat too much of this or any too much of that. Now, there are some people today that I hear them talking about, the Lord appeared to me in a dream and he told me to do this and he told me to do that. And from what they say, I'm pretty sure that I know that that dream, it wasn't like Joseph's dream where it was of the Lord. It came from too much steak or too much something was going on. Dreams are not, the Lord didn't tell us to go and follow him based on dreams. I'll tell you what he did tell us is that we're to follow every spirit that is of the Lord, and we're to try those spirits to see whether they be of the Lord. And the place we try the spirits is by the Word of God. That doesn't mean you just get any little feeling you get, you think, well, that must be the Lord talking to me, because there's an adversary who will disguise himself as an angel of light who will lead you down a wrong path if you just open yourself up to every spirit. There are spirits in this world that are not of the Lord. That's clearly taught in the Word of God. And that is why John tells us to try the spirits to see whether they be of God. And if they testify of Jesus Christ, and if they testify in according to God's Word, you can lean on that and account that. Now, I believe in the movement of the Spirit of Almighty God. I believe if the Lord's Spirit is not with us in this preaching, It'll just be an intellectual endeavor. And though we may talk about some good things and we may get some natural understanding, the heart of God's children won't be moved and touched. And really, that's preaching comes in power and in demonstration of the Spirit of God. And when the Lord gives it to you in your heart, you can know it and understand it. But always take what you've been given that way and go home and open up your Bibles and study them to be sure what you've been taught is true. Because if it doesn't fit God's Word, just cast it out over here. And if it does line up with God's Word, you hold on to it. You live by it. You walk it. You talk it. You believe it. You try to follow it as much as you can. And as we do that, our lives will be blessed in that. And what a great peace comes to God's little children. It's a happy people and a joyful people that know the joyful sound. And the Scripture says, "And they shall walk in the light of thy countenance, O Lord." And oh, how good it is to walk in this world in the light of his countenance. There's a whole lot of darkness. Even here at Christmas time, there's a whole lot of what seems to be right that's wrong. A whole lot of what seems to be good that's bad. A whole lot that seems to be sweet and it's sour. A whole lot that seems to make you happy and well that'll make you very, very sick. I can tell you this though, when you go to God's Word, you won't get anything that's going to make you sick. It'll make you happy today and then you'll still be happy tomorrow. It may make you weep, but that'll be good for you if it does. It may make you laugh and that'll be good for you if it does. It may make you do all kinds of things that will be right and good for you. And brethren, I can't say it enough. You trust in what God says and you keep it right there. And you try those things by the Word of God. Joseph here, while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph's troubled. And the Lord sees fit to bless this dear brother. Now, I ask you, was Joseph really in trouble? No, an event was about to take place in the life of Joseph and in the history of the world that has changed everything and without it. It was the reason the planet was put here in the first place. It was the reason everything's written in the Old Testament. It's the reason everything in the New Testament has been there. The Old Testament pointed to this coming and this life that was going to be lived. And the New Testament declared that he has come and that he lives and lives forevermore. The New Testament declares him to be Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the Old Testament in types and shadows pointed to him. Every scripture pointed to him. Jesus said, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." And Joseph, though, thinking everything was wrong. You know, I can see the old boy tossing and turning, thinking everything was wrong when everything was right. Joseph thought Mary had been unfaithful, but dear little sister Mary had been very faithful. She wasn't just any woman. She was a virgin. You say, you really believe that a virgin can be with child? Absolutely. The God of heaven who made us and created us out of the dust of the earth. The Holy Spirit over as the Scripture says here, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. As the Old Testament prophet Isaiah had said in verse 23, we see that quote, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. And the angel was about to deliver that wonderful message to Joseph. And Joseph was there in this dream saying, "Joseph, thou son of David." Oh, isn't it wonderful that Joseph was a son of David? And Mary was in the lineage of David. And Jesus came as a son of David. When you read son of David in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we're talking about the Messiah. We're talking about the one that the Bible said was going to come. The one who's going to be the Redeemer. The one who Isaiah said was going to be called Wonderful. And he is. Everything we could say about him today would be wonderful. And that in our King James Bible, that word wonderful got a big capital letter because it's his name. His name is wonderful. Wonderful is his name. Isn't it good to have how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear? How sweet his name is to hear it over and over. Tell me the story of Jesus right on my heart everywhere. Tell me that old story of Jesus and what? And his love. And his love is what caused him and brought him into this world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And listen, the world that He loved wasn't just any world in general. It was a specific world that He loved in covenant, even before the foundation of this universe and of this world. And that world He loved so much that He would not have that world separated from Him. And He sent Jesus into this world to redeem His people and to save His people. And that's why they called Him Jesus. And that's why, you know, we think about this time of year and all that's going on. And listen, whether it's this time of year or any other time of the year, whatever day you get up in the morning, it's the day to celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the day to celebrate His life. It's the day to celebrate His death. It's His day to celebrate His resurrection. It's the day to remember that not only was He born and laid in a manger as a little babe, in a very mean and lowly, as Brother Terry has already said in his prayer, in such a mean and lowly state, no doubt people in the world would have thought, could that possibly be the Savior? I'll tell you what, the shepherds knew what He was. The angels declared what He was. And that one that He was is not only what He was, it's what He is. It's what He has always been. It's what He ever will be. He wasn't born a little baby to grow up to be the Savior. He was born the Savior. He wasn't born to grow up to be the King. He was born the King. He who is going to carry us up to heaven. There would be none of us who could go up to heaven were it not for the one who came down from heaven. And He came here and took upon Himself a body of flesh and was made a little lower than the angels, as the Hebrew letter says, that He might taste death for us. And as man, He died. He had to come as the Son of David. And listen, Mary needed a Redeemer. Some people said Mary was without sin. Oh no, Mary knew she needed a Redeemer. And you know who needs a Redeemer? Those who have fallen short of the glory of God. And who would that be? It'd be Mary, it'd be Joseph, it'd be all the Old Testament saints, it'd be all the New Testament saints, it'd be all the preachers that you've known that have meant anything to you. It'd be every little brother or sister in this church. Without the Lord, there would have been no help or hope for any of us. And with that, and Joseph is sitting here worried about what was taking place, and what was taking place is our hope of heaven, dear ones. What is taking place was the one who was coming into this world to do that which only He could do. And the only one who could take the sea books and open the seals thereof was this Lion of the tribe of Judah. Which, by the way, if you read all of what's going on in Matthew 1 through 17, there's a whole lot about who begat, and all that. It runs down, as it says here, 42 generations. You're seeing in those generations the providential hand of God that has brought it right down to this appointed time to a little Joseph and a little Mary. Not that Joseph was the father, but he served as an adopted father. The Lord put him in the right place and put the right person there, and so that Mary might bring forth this little child that was conceived of the Holy Ghost. Listen, He was the only begotten of the Father. Somebody said, "You believe that story? That doesn't sound too scientifically sound to me." Listen, I'm talking about the one who made science. You talking about the laws of science? I'm talking about the one who authored the laws. I'm talking about the one who has no trouble changing the laws if He sees fit. Who can take the time and move it back as He wants. He can stop the sun and move it back. Somebody said, well, the sun doesn't, we're rotating, the sun doesn't move across the sky. From my perspective, it moves across the sky. How about you? How God calls that to go back? I don't. He could have done it any way He wanted to. God doesn't move according to my plan or your plan or our ways or our thoughts. His thoughts and His ways are so much higher than our thoughts and ways, as high as the heavens are above the earth. And the last time I looked, that's a long ways. I have no way to know how much it is. I'm telling you, that's the kind of God I'm trusting in this old troubled world. That's the kind of God I want to talk about and preach. Not a weak, feeble, little weak God who had a weak plan that maybe gets somebody and misses so many. This God had a perfect purpose in saving His people. And this God had a Son who was the eternal Son of God and the Holy Spirit, these three being one. And in this work of Almighty God in saving His people, there was not one flaw. that would cause one of his children not to be secure in the finished work of Christ. And that's something to preach, something to get excited about, something that can cause you to get up in the morning, and though your problems might seem to be overwhelming, Joseph no doubt thought his problems were overwhelming. Don't you think? Don't you think? What am I going to do? And he's about to have the most exciting. Can you imagine being there in the family with Jesus? You know, some of us think we have perfect children. And then we find out they're not so perfect. I mean, even though, but we don't want other people to say that, right? It's okay for it's okay, but we can say it, but we don't want anybody else to say it. But we know they're not perfect. You know why they're not perfect? Because their mom and daddy's not perfect. You know why their mom and daddy's not perfect? Because their mom and daddy wasn't perfect. And you know why they weren't perfect? Because you run it all the way back to Adam. In Adam, we didn't get better. In Adam, we died. In Adam, we fell. And that fall was great. Eve sinned, and Adam sinned, and they fell in transgression, and were separated from God. And if it were not for the grace of God, Adam and Eve both would have burned, would be burning in hell. There would be no hope for any one of the posterity of Adam. We all sin, not just a little bit. If you and I could see how ugly sin is in the sight of an awesome, righteous, powerful God, we would understand a whole lot better why hell exists. And listen, there is a hell just as eternal as a heaven that's eternal. We don't believe there is no hell. We believe there is a hell, just as sure as there is a heaven. But here's the wonderful thing about that. It was never designed for God's children. That place was designed for the devil and his angels and all those that are of the non-elect. God's a little elect family chosen of God. That place was never designed for you, but I want you to know that would have been my end and your end, and no other answer for that. If salvation was not done by Jesus, we would all come short, and there would be no hope of any of us being anywhere but there. And I know this, when I really see how real it is surely a lot of peace for me to know I'm not. I hope and pray, my hope is that I've been delivered from that place. Don't you think that's a lot to be happy about? If you didn't have nothing. And I'll tell you the reason we don't see that sometimes is we don't realize how much the Scripture says that it is. That we can recognize that. Jesus came and He bore that for us. He took that in His own body. What love is this? What kind of love was that? It wasn't when I was good and right that He did that for me. I would have never wanted Him or loved Him. You said, but I love the Lord. You'd have never loved the Lord if the Lord hadn't first loved you. You said, well, I want to serve Him. Well, you would have never wanted to serve Him if he hadn't worked you in you, that which you have. You would have been in this world, and like so many in the world today, they see this time of year as just a time to make a little money, a little time to do this and do that. And I think we need to be very careful that we don't get so wrapped up even in just worshiping the Lord this time of the year, that we forget to do it all the time. Every single day we ought to be excited about His death, about His burial, about His coming, about His birth. And we don't want to leave Him in a manger. Jesus just wasn't a little child in a manger somewhere. Listen, he came in that lowly estate. You know why? Because he had to suffer in every way. In every way and manner that His children would suffer, not because He did anything wrong, but He had to be made like unto us. Now, He's not just like us, but He was made like unto us. The only difference is, we had a polluted bloodline, but He didn't. That was why it was important that He was born, conceived of the Holy Ghost, and born of a virgin. And the one who came forth was not, He was that holy thing. That the Scripture says He's that holy one, that holy child. Listen, all other children that are born are shaped, they're born in sin and shaped in iniquity. I don't care how sweet and precious they seem to be. And they'll show forth that pretty quick. I haven't seen one yet. They worried whether mama was tired or not. When they were hungry, they'd wake up anybody and everybody to get something to eat. It's not. They didn't go like, mama, are you tired now? I'll just be quiet. You know, I don't believe Jesus was like any other baby that was ever born, because He was a perfect baby. He was a perfect child. He was a perfect boy. He was a perfect, everything he ever did was perfect. He never had a spot and a blemish. Not one thing wrong with him. Can you imagine the blessing that Joseph had with Jesus in the household? And yet here he is, can't sleep. Because Mary's in trouble. Mary wasn't in trouble. Mary was blessed, wasn't she? Joseph just was mixed up. Listen, you and I today sometimes so troubled about everything. Listen, we are blessed. We have a God who's loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son into this world. And then every single day of our life, His eye is on us and His hand is right there. His hand is not shortened that He cannot save, nor His ear heavy that He cannot hear. And when you and I by faith look to Him, it doesn't matter what storm or what trouble we're in. We're talking about the one with us who can say to the strongest storm, "Peace, be still," and it calms. And if He sees fit, He can take you right through the storm and none of it will hurt you. He can put you in the fire and have you come through it without the smell of smoke. He can do what He sees fit the way He sees fit. The good news is He's the one we're serving. I don't want you to forget Him today. Don't you want Him? I don't want you forgetting Him right now. I want you to remember He's right here with me. And He is. He was with Joseph. Joseph just wasn't looking. He wasn't seeing. The angel showed him. And once he showed him, well, no doubt there were times Joseph would fall back into doubt and fear. We know they did from time to time. Because remember when they left Jesus? Hey, how could you leave Jesus and just suppose He was with you? When Jesus was 12 years old, they went on the way. Mary also knew who she was. She'd heard it from the voice of an angel. It wasn't just a preacher who told her. An angel told her. You'd think you'd remember what an angel told you, wouldn't you? And yet there they were going on their way, and now they looked around. Where's Jesus? They left Him. A day's journey away? I'm not getting all of that, but anyway, there they were. Where's Jesus? Well, they supposed He was in the company. And when they found Him, they rebuked Him. You know, when they rebuked Him, they were wrong. Every child that's ever grown up needed correction. Every one of them except Jesus. And the only time He was ever, when He was corrected of His mother, the mother was wrong because He didn't need it. He was always in a complete agreement with His Father. What a blessing He was in any family. What a blessing He came into this world. Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. And while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." And listen, she just wasn't with a child from anything. She was, that which was in her is conceived of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son. And that was a promise of God. Did Mary bring forth a son? Absolutely. Mary brought forth a son. The prophecy was that she would. The promise here from the angel is that she would. And we believe that she did, don't you? I believe Mary brought forth a son. You believe that? Everybody ought to say amen to that. Most people in the world say amen. I believe Jesus was here. I believe that Mary did have Jesus, and Mary brought forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. There be many people who say, yeah, I believe that. Mary had a son and they called him Jesus. We believe that Mary had a son and his name was called Jesus. I believe that. And here in our Bibles, it says Jesus. Capital J, capital E, capital S, capital U, capital S. And boy, we can't say it enough. And what that word simply means is Savior. There was a reason his name was Jesus. That is that he was a Savior. He saved his people. He came to save. And she shall bring forth, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And then it says, for he shall save his people. Well, we should believe that Mary brought forth a son. We should believe that they called his name Jesus. And we should believe this one too. And he shall save his people. Did it say he'll try to save them? Did it say he'll hope to save them? Did it say he'll do his best he can to save them? Did it say he came to save everybody and hopes to save somebody? That's what the world teaches. What does the Bible say? The Bible says that he shall save his people. Listen, he had a people that he came for. You go over to John 17, you'll read that those people that he came to save, the Father had given him power. Power was given to him that he might give eternal life to whom? To as many as thou hast given me. And those people that were given to him were given by the Father unto the Son in a covenant of grace even before the foundation of the world, and they are his people. Brethren, we believe that we are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. We believe that he hath made us and not we ourselves. We believe that all that the Father giveth me, Jesus said, will come to me, and he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. We believe that all that the Father giveth me, he said, I'll lose nothing but raise it up again at the last day. You know who Jesus saved? He saved his people. You know how many of him saved? Of them he saved? Every one of them. He didn't miss one. Just like that one who had 100 sheep and one of them was astray, he left the 99 and went after the one. The wonderful thing about our shepherd, unlike the shepherds of this world, is that the shepherds of this world, when they leave the 99, they've got to leave them to go get the one. I'm telling you, we got a shepherd who can be with the 99 and still go get the one. You know, isn't that wonderful? He can be with this little congregation as we sit here today, as we leave this place and I get in my car and go down the road. I believe he'll be with me. But you know what else? I believe he'll be with you. And whether you are aware of it or I am aware of it, won't change the fact. We might be like Joseph and be troubled that he's not with us, but that doesn't mean he isn't. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Not because of you, because he promised not to. And he who cannot lie will not do anything but keep his promise. And I can be at peace about that, or I can be troubled about that. How much better it is just to believe. And how are you able to believe? By the faith he's given you. And where did that faith come from? It's a gift of God. And therefore we ought to walk out on faith and believe it. Listen, everything in this world is just temporary. We're only here for a little while. What we're talking about is something we're going to enjoy talking about for eternities. As the eternal ages roll, we're going to be talking about this, singing about this, praising God for this, and this will be the subject matter. Everything else sometimes that invades our thoughts and our minds won't mean a thing. Won't mean a thing. This will be the important truth. It ought to be the ultimate important truth that keeps our life in focus here in this world. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save who? His people. From what? Their sins. Listen, he didn't die to pay the sin debt for everybody and all sins. He died to save his people from their sins. Whose sins? My sins. Mary's sins. Joseph's sins. The apostles' sins. Every member of this church who's here today, who has ever been, and every one of God's little children, we've all done what? Sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's no hope for me but in this one. And this one called Jesus. And that hope isn't a feeble wish. That's something you can sure and steadfast, anchored up in the veil. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. Now listen, it wasn't just the prophet who said it. It was the Lord who said it. It just came through the mouth of the prophet. And you can count on what thus saith the Lord. Again, we can count on that. And he says, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Some people say, I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe he was divine. I don't believe he's God. Well, then you don't believe the Bible. You can say that right along with that. I don't believe the Bible, because the Bible says he was God. He was one of us in that he was a man, but he wasn't just one of us. He was the Son of Man, but he was Son of God. He wasn't 50-50. He was 100% man, 100% God. Somebody said, explain that. Don't have to. I know that's what the Bible says, and that settles it. Let God be true and every man a liar. And I can just, with all peace in my heart, rest in that. And all the other stuff in this world that men think they have to figure out, let them worry with that. I am thankful to know that we have this kind of Savior, which being interpreted is God with us. Listen, he had to be. He had to be the Son of Man. He had to be made like unto his brethren. In order to die for man, he had to be man. The angels couldn't die for man because the angels were not men. He didn't send an angel. There was no angel that could do it. Jesus had to come, and he had to take upon himself a body of flesh. He had that was formed and fashioned in the womb of Mary. What an amazing thing. And there Jesus came forth in a body, and there lived his life perfectly, and then died on the cross. And then, but he didn't stay dead, did he? He was crucified, but he's not on the cross today. He's not in the grave today. There's an empty grave. Where is he then today? He's seated on the right hand of the Father. And he's not only seated on the right hand of the Father, I believe he's right here with us today in this room. He's everywhere present. He's nowhere absent. That's the wonderful Savior. No wonder we call him wonderful. He's a counselor you can count on for all counsel. You got a problem, you take it to the Lord in prayer. Oh, what needless pain we often carry because we fail to take it to the Lord in prayer. Pray and look to him. He's a counselor. He's a counselor above all counselors. And he's written to you a wonder. You're talking about a good book written by the best counselor? Here you got it in God's Word. He's a wonderful counselor. He is the mighty God, God with us. He is the ever, and in case you haven't wondered who that is, the everlasting Father, that's who he is. And that is the Prince of Peace. And he says, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angels of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. You know how he must have felt. It's my. What he didn't know, and now what he does know. And what a difference. Didn't change anything about what was going on, did it? But it sure changed his seeing of it. Listen, everything that I'm saying today doesn't make what Jesus did any more real or less real. But you and me being more aware of it does affect every single day of our life. Every moment. And it's about whether we're really... And I'll tell you what it does. It makes you thankful to where you want to be praising him. It makes it a lot harder. I'm not saying I won't complain. I'll probably complain before I get home. But I hope it's harder for me to complain because of seeing this truth even today than it would be otherwise. It's a warfare. You're in this world, it's a warfare. You want to do better. You want to believe better. You want to act better. You want to talk better. I told Sharon this morning, it seemed like I got a whole list of things that I was going to get straight before this and that, and I still got that same list. Every day I try to walk in it, and it seems like my list, it hadn't gotten shorter, by the way, it's gotten longer. My list is getting longer. And I'm not, you know what that means? That means I'll never get it all straight here in this world, but I want to fight that battle faithfully. I want to fight it. And I pray that the Lord will bring us closer and closer to him until the time comes he takes us out of this old world, and then we see him face to face, and all, it is well, we'll say truly, it is well with my soul. Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, took unto him his wife, and knew her not. Get this, he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And what a life. The entirety of the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, is about that life and about what he has done for his people. He shall save his people from their sins. He did that. May the Lord bless us to see that and all the effects of it. Not only enjoying it in heaven, that's a sure thing for every one of God's children, but every day remembering that, so that we'll find the temporal, the timely salvation that is in Christ, where our life, he came that we might have life, but he didn't just leave it there, did he? He said he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And may the Lord bless us to enjoy that abundant life and fellowship with him in this world. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.
Brother Gary, can we sing Adoration?
Adoration? Is that what she said? You want to sing Adoration? Lord, let me praise thee in the morning. I don't know what number that is. What number is it? 327. 327.